Well, it's good to see the pews full again. It seemed like in summertime it was fairly empty some Sundays, but it's good to have everyone back, and it's good to be back into our regular church routine of Sunday school before the service and just ministry to the whole family. And I especially want to welcome today extended family that are here for the baby dedication. We just are so glad to have you here as part of this and part of this important time in your family's life. But one thing we want to do before baby dedication is take some time to pray for our Sunday school department. I just want to first say thank you to Heather and her team for getting everything ready and all the material and recruiting the teachers and all the stuff that needs to happen to make Sunday school work. And so what we'd like to do is I'd just like to invite the Sunday school department, so not just the teachers, but everyone that's involved with getting Sunday school working on Sunday morning. Just I want you to come up here. I would like to just thank you publicly for your service and your work. So yeah, Sunday school teachers, come on up. You can just find your way here just to the side. And these are people that prepare week by week and pray for students. They pray for the ministry of the Word of God and touch the lives of our youth and our kids Sunday by Sunday. So we're so very thankful for them. So it's quite an army, as you can see, we have here that are a part of the discipling process. First of all, I would like to say thank you. I would like to say thank you to saying yes to whoever tapped you on the shoulder, or yes to that inner call of God to come and be part of this this ministry. We appreciate you very much. I appreciate what you do. I realize how much work it is to prepare for a class and to give of your time and energy to minister to others. And so, on behalf of the church, I just want to say thank you for your service. Then I'd like to share a couple thoughts with you. The first one is found in Luke chapter 12, and Jesus speaking, and he says this in verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward? Who is whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at their proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions." And just a reminder of the that you are giving bread. You are, when Jesus called us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," you are giving bread. You are giving spiritual food to your class week by week, and those of you that are in that support place are enabling others to be able to do that. And one thing I would like to encourage you to do is to pray regularly for your people that you serve and you minister to, and also to come prepared, that you make sure that when you are there that you have something that comes from heaven. You have something from the Word of God to give. And the last thing I'd like to say before I pray is Romans 6 calls us to offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness. And as you consider your preparation time for Sunday morning and the ministry you do, open your hearts and say to Lord, "I'm an instrument of righteousness, and use me for that purpose." And I believe God will hear that prayer, and he will equip you for that which that he has for you and for your class. So I'd like to just ask you to join me as I pray and lift up our Sunday school department. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for these people who have said yes to you. They have said yes to teaching the Word of God. They have said yes to discipling the next generation. And Father, that is what you have, that's what today is about. This is about our children. It's about our next generation and instructing them in the ways of God, telling them the stories of what you have done in the past and how you can work in their lives in the here and now today. Father, I pray for them. I pray that you would help them be faithful in preparation. I ask, oh God, as they take out their lesson plan in the week, as they look at the words of Scripture, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would instruct them and guide them, guide their thoughts, and Lord, help them to put their plan together in a way that would help the students to understand and to grow and to learn. I ask, oh God, that you would help them to grow in their own relationship with Christ. That, Father, as they're studying, that they will grow, that they will put into practice the lessons that they are reading, that things that they are learning from you. And God, I pray that you would help them to grow in the nature and the character of Christ. They may reflect the nature of Jesus in everything they do. I pray, oh God, that you would give them open doors in the hearts of their students. Lord, help them to ask the right questions. Help them to care enough to see what's in the hearts. And Lord, I pray that students will open their hearts to hear what you are wanting to say through the teachers. I pray, oh Lord, that you would be in their midst. You have said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And Lord, I pray that students and teachers alike will experience the presence of Christ in the classroom setting. God, that you will be the one teaching. You have said, I will make a covenant. I will write my laws and on their hearts and on their minds. And Lord, I pray that you would do that by your Spirit, using these teachers, using this Sunday school department to write your laws on the hearts and minds of our young people. I pray that you would help them, oh God, to build community, to build a fellowship, Lord, where people care for each other, where love is shared and where concerns are shared and prayer concerns are prayed for. And so, God, I pray for that building of community in our Sunday school classes. And God, I just ask that you would give each of our teachers wisdom and guidance as they relate to the students. So Lord, I thank you for them. I pray for your hand of blessing on them. And Lord, as they present themselves to you as instruments of righteousness, that you will use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, and trust that you will have a great Sunday school year, and God will bless you for your efforts. And at the end, God will be the one that will say, well done, good and faithful servant. So thank you very much. God bless. I'd like to transition it to the baby dedication part of the service. And as you've seen in your bulletin, we have four couples that are dedicating their children. Andreas and Rita Schultz are dedicating Jade and Andrew. And Russ and Shauna Wolf are dedicating Jada Quinn. And Nathan and Rose Friesen are dedicating Tessa Hope. And Matt and Jen Clausen are dedicating Tyson Matthew. And so just before I invite them to come up, I have a number of things I would just like to share with all of us. And just a reminder, I think when we do baby dedication, it's as much about the parents as it is about the children. I think with the children, it's about, yeah, we want the hand of the Lord. We want the Lord's blessing to rest all the days of our children's lives. We want the hand of the Lord to guide them and to bless them and be on their lives. But it's also important to be reminded of the responsibility of parents. And I think our culture is quickly moving to taking away the responsibility. Or I think we as Christians, we all know and we all realize, but sometimes you just need to be reminded. The voice of our culture is saying, well, the schools will take care of it, the daycares will take care of it, or the government social networks will take care of it. That's not their role. God has given you as parents, the children. These others may play parts in it. I'm not saying that they are all bad. All I'm saying is that at the heart and the core of all of it, God has given these parents, these children, and he has given them the role of instructing them and teaching them, of imparting the values of the kingdom, imparting the word of God into the hearts and minds of our children. And so I just want to reinforce the important role that parents play in the lives of their children. It's key. It's incredibly, incredibly important. And with that, I would just like to read a short portion of scripture found in Judges chapter 13. These are the parents of Samson, and they were unable to have children, and just a reminder of that children are a gift from God. Judges chapter 13 says this, "Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines.' Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of an angel of God, very awesome. And I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. But he said to me, "Behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and now you shall not drink wine or strong drink, nor any unclean thing, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, from the womb to the day of his death." Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "O Lord, please let the man of God whom you have sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born." God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the story goes on from there, and in the end, Manoah comes to the angel and he says, teach us what we're supposed to do with this child. You are the one that promised that he would come, that we would conceive and have a child, but teach us what you want to do with this son. And I'd just like to just kind of give us just a couple reminders. First of all, children are a gift from God. And here was a couple that were living in an evil time, a time when the culture was going away from God. And yet, God says, "I'm going to give you a child, and this child is going to change the culture. This child is going to be part of my purpose, part of my kingdom plan, part of my kingdom purpose." And so the woman was to really dedicate herself. There were certain things that she was not supposed to do. And so I think it's just a reminder for parents that your example, what you do and what you don't do, speaks much, much louder than your words. Your kids are watching everything you do. They watch what you do. They watch how you respond to things. And they listen to what you say and how you say it. And so I think there was part of that where the angel said to the parents, "These are some things I don't want you to be doing anymore." And then the child would be a Nazarite. A Nazarite just means the child was dedicated or separated to God. And that's what baby dedication is about too. It's about that separation and dedication to God. We are dedicating these children to the Lord. And so with that, Manoah realized, okay, all of a sudden I think the weight of responsibility fell on his shoulders. And I'm not sure, I haven't ever been a dad, so I don't know what that feels like. But I think every parent all of a sudden comes to this place of, "Oh, what do I do? I'm responsible before God, and this is a life that God has entrusted to my care. What do I do?" And so Manoah all of a sudden felt that, and he says, "Well, didn't you talk to that angel and say, well, what are we supposed to do?" And so they prayed, and God answered and said, it sent the angel again, and the angel gave more instructions. And so I think it's just an important thing for parents to remember that God cares enough about your child to hear your prayers on, "God, what do I do with this? God, how do I answer this? God, what do I say here?" And that God will give answers in your time of need as you raise your children. So let me just read a couple other scriptures that just surround the baby dedication part, and then I'll invite the parents with their children. Ken already read Deuteronomy 6, so I won't read that part, but Psalm 78 verses 5 to 8 says this, "God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell it to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God." Then Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, this is when they were bringing the children to Jesus.
It says this, "And they were bringing children to Christ so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' And he took them in his arms and began blessing them and laying his hands on them." And so just the importance that disciples said, you know what, they're, maybe let's just chase these children away. And Jesus says, permit the children. These are the children that he wanted to lay his hands on and bless them. And then the last scripture I'd like to read is Genesis 18, verse 19. And this is God talking about Abraham, and he says this, "For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." And so God chose Abraham, and he said, I'm choosing him because he will command his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord and to do righteousness. And so that is your call as parents in your training, in the training process with your children. So at this point, I'm going to invite the parents to bring the children, and if they just want to come and line up on the stage here. So for the four sets of parents with their children, please come up. And one of the things as they're coming up, just I've asked each of the parents to have a scripture verse that they are holding for their child. And so I think some of them were on the screen earlier. They will hopefully come up on the screen again. And I want to thank Rose for putting all these slides together. So there's a picture of the child and the birth date and the scripture that they have as their prayer for their children. So we want to just take some time and pray for them and dedicate these children to the Lord. And I also want to say thanks to the grandparents and extended family as well for your support at this time. And they realize that they need that support. So a couple questions for the parents. As you present your children before the Lord in dedication, do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And secondly, do you promise to the best of your ability to instruct your child by both your words and example in the teachings of Christ? And do you promise, with God's help, to guide and encourage your child to one day trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? I would like to encourage grandparents, aunts and uncles, and extended family, as well as our church family, to stand with these parents in their commitment that they have made today before God, and pray for them, pray for God's grace and wisdom for them as they commit to doing that. So what I'd like to do for the dedication prayers, I would like to pray kind of generally for all the couples, and then I would like to pray for each one separately. So why don't you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for these families, Father, that are bringing in their arms their precious children, the gifts that you have given them from heaven. Father, we thank you so much for these families and their commitment and dedication to you to say, yes, we will train our children in the ways of the Lord. I pray for them, Lord, each of these couples, that you will grant them a healthy marriage. Lord, that the best gift that they can give to their children is a marriage that is strong, a marriage that is committed. And Lord, I ask that you would bless each of these marriages and help these marriages to be strong and stable, that these children can grow up in a healthy, strong, secure environment. Lord, I pray that you would give much wisdom and guidance to each of these parents, Lord, as they deal with different situations, as they deal with different struggles in the lives of their children. Help them to hear your heart, but help them to hear the heart of their child. And help them, O God, to disciple and train in a way, O Lord, that would meet the deepest need of the child's heart and would bring their your grace in touch with this child's life. I pray, O Lord, that your covenant promises, Lord, to that the children would know you, God would be real in each of the lives of these children. And Lord, we ask that Jesus Christ would be formed in every heart, that each of these children will, at some point in their lives, will be convicted of their sin, and they will turn and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I pray, Lord, for a strong foundation of your grace and truth in the lives of each of these families. So God, we just entrust them to you. We thank you, Lord, as they stand before you, that you will enable them to do what they need to do as they raise their children. Father, we lift up Matt and Jen as they bring to you Tyson, Matthew, Clausen. Father, I pray for this young boy. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would fill him with the knowledge of your will. Lord, that he will never grapple with his life about what your will is. Lord, there would just be a deep knowing in his heart what you have for his life. I pray, O Lord, that you would fill him with a spiritual understanding, Lord, and wisdom. Like you gave to Solomon, Lord, you gave wisdom that came from heaven. I pray, Lord, that the wisdom of God might rest on his life. Lord, I pray that his walk will be worthy of you and will bring great pleasure to you. Lord, that you will look on his life with a smile. You will look on his life with great pleasure. And Lord, that you will build in him a deep inner strength and a character that will be steadfast and patient in the face of life's difficulties and challenges. Lord, I pray that his life will be filled with joy and thankfulness to you. And Lord, we just thank you that you will qualify him to share in the great inheritance. And so, God, we lift up Tyson to you and pray for the hand of God to be on his life in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up to you Andreas and Rita as they bring to you Jaden Andrew Schultz. Father, their prayer for their young son is that he will lift up his eyes to the mountains, that his eyes will be lifted to heaven, and he will experience the help of God. Father, I pray that he will recognize in every place and time of his life the need for your help. I pray, Lord, that there will be a true humility in his heart that will say, I need God's help. And Lord, that he will know exactly where to look, that he will find in Jesus Christ the full measure of that help. I pray, O Lord, that you would give him feet that will find and walk securely on the path of life, that he will have a heart that is beating with the heartbeat of God, that will not be led astray into deception or error, but Father, you will lead his life on the path of truth and righteousness. I pray, O God, that he will be kept in that place of rest and peace and security of Jesus Christ, that his heart will not fear in evil days. Lord, you have said that perfect love casts out fear. And Lord, I just pray that he will walk without fear and in security and will seek to overcome in all areas of life. Father, that he will walk in the confidence of the protection of God Almighty. Lord, I pray that you would shepherd and oversee his soul. Lord, that as his soul develops and his soul is drawn to you, I ask, O God, that you would shepherd and oversee the things that are going on in his soul, in his heart, and Lord, that you would guard his going out and coming in all the days of his life. So God, we dedicate Jaden Andrew to you and ask you to bless him and his parents in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we lift up Nathan and Rose as they bring Tessa Hope before you. Father, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God upon her life. Father, we ask that you would reveal yourself to her, Lord, in the only ways that only you can do, whether that's in the hearing of the stories of Scripture, whether that's in the reading of the Bible for herself as she grows up, Lord, whether that's by your Spirit teaching in the everyday things of life, I pray, Lord, for a revelation and a growth in the knowledge of God. Lord, I pray that the eyes of her heart will be opened to see the work and the activity of God in her life and in the lives of others around her. I ask, O Lord, that she will have eyes that are turned heavenward. She will have eyes, O God, that will see the things of God, will see the activities of God, that will see what you are wanting to do in her life and in people that are you put around her. I pray, O God, that she will have a heart that is set on the hope of eternity, that her life will be filled with hope, that will be a hope-filled outlook towards all of life. Lord, that you would guard her heart from discouragement and despair and depression. And Father, that for all the things that she faces, Lord, there will always be an eternal hope that will strengthen and guard her heart. Lord, I pray for life experiences in the riches of Christ, whether it's in her devotional life or in her relations with others, that she will experience the riches of Jesus Christ in every area of her life. And Lord, that she will be empowered to do what is good and right in the sight of God. Lord, let the Spirit of Jesus rest on her life. God, we just dedicate her to you, and we ask, O God, for much wisdom and grace for Nathan and Rose as they raise Tessa Hope to serve you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Russ and Shauna. Lord, they are presenting before you Jada Quinn. Lord, a special gift from you. Lord, a special one that you have formed her inward parts. Lord, you wove her in her mother's womb. Lord, you have created and woven her for a special purpose. She is unique. She is your workmanship. And Lord, we ask that you would give her a deep sense of your purpose and presence in her life. I pray that she will have her inward nature, this inward part that you created, will be inclined towards God. Lord, we'll always be sensitive to the whispers of God. We'll be sensitive to your holy presence and your Spirit's promptings. I pray, Lord, there would just be a desire deep in her heart for the things of God, for the ways of God, for the things that you have for her. I pray, Lord, for a deep inward beauty that has great value in the sight of God. I ask, O God, for a character of a humility, love, and an engaging personality that will radiate and reflect the love and the joy and peace of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just ask that you would write your laws on her heart and in her mind, and Lord, that the deep and the wonderful nature of Christ will be planted deep in her heart, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Now we thank you, Lord, for these parents, for each of these children, and God, may you just rest your hands on them for the rest of their lives, and may you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and may he give you much wisdom and joy as you serve and train your children to serve God and to love God. So bless you. Thank you. I think Marion's got some flowers here, so and actually a dedication certificate as well. So, we'll give you that. Give you that. Aiden, give me that. Yeah, welcome. And God bless you guys. For me, it's always exciting to do baby dedications. It's wonderful to have a church full of young families, and to see children in church is very exciting for me. Well, we're going to make this short. This won't be a long sermon, but I just want to talk to us about God's call to faithfulness. Now, when I thought about, okay, how do I wrap this up? Sunday school is just starting, and baby dedication. How do you put a sermon that pulls this all together? And I don't know that I promise that I can do that all, but I thought of the whole theme of faithfulness. And that is our call as Christians. One thing that we want to hear and need to hear at the end of the age is God saying to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, faithfulness is not something that gets great accolades. It's not something that people notice. You don't notice a person's faithfulness day after day, week after week, month after month. People labor in Sunday school rooms that most people never see. People labor in those obscure places that nobody notices. And yet it's God who notices the regular faithfulness of His people when they're doing the right thing consistently, day in and day out. And I just want to remind us today of the importance of that faithfulness. So I've chosen for the scripture to read is Hebrews chapter 3. And Hebrews chapter 3 is three examples that should spur us on to faithfulness. There's the example of Jesus, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him. Then there's the story of Moses, who was faithful in God's house as a servant. And then there's the story of the unfaithful people in the wilderness that were not faithful to God. So let's read the passage. I'll make a few comments and we'll wrap it up. But the whole idea of faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses also was in all His house. For he who has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they should not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. In September 6, 1995, on Camden Yards in Baltimore, the Baltimore Orioles were playing the California Angels. And it was, in some sense, a very, very important game. Now, most of you probably won't remember, and I don't either. I'm not really a baseball player or a fan. But the Baltimore Orioles won the game 4-2. But that's not what made the game unforgettable. That was the day that Cal Ripken Jr. broke the record, and he played 2,131 consecutive games. It was a record that Lou Gehrig had held for 56 years. It was a record that was thought it would be unbreakable, that would never be broken. And on that day, after the fifth inning, when the game became official, the crowd went wild. They were, for 22 minutes, they were standing and cheering. 46,000 people. He did eight of the calls coming out of the dugout. He made a loop around the whole thing. The policemen, the workers, they were shaking his hands. It was pandemonium. There was excitement, and there was all kinds of celebration for His faithfulness, that for 2,131 games, He showed up there. He didn't hit the most home runs. He didn't make the most hits. He didn't score. He didn't pitch the no-hit ball. He just showed up to play baseball day in and day out. When he felt like it, when he didn't feel like it, when he was hurting or when he wasn't hurting. And all those 2,132 games or whatever it was that that he ended up, I'm not sure how many he played after that, but there was probably no accolades during that whole time. There was silence. But now all of a sudden at the end, when he broke the record, here's all this shouting and cheering. And I think it's important for us to remember that in the everyday humdrum things of life, when we're trying to be faithful as parents, trying to be faithful in teaching the Word of God, there's probably not going to be all that cheering and shouting and accolades. But we have to remember, when it's all said and done, that's when the cheering will happen. And so Cal Ripken was faithful day in, day out, to do what he was supposed to do. And I think it's important for us, when we think of faithfulness, we need to remember that that is our ultimate goal, to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let me just give you a few scriptures around faithfulness. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, "Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man?" The NIV says, "But a faithful man who can find?" So we're quick to boast about our own faithfulness, our own loyalty and trustworthiness, but he says, "Who can find a faithful man?" Abraham was a faithful man. It says in Nehemiah 9, verses 7 and 8, "You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you, and you made a covenant with you." And Hananiah in Nehemiah 7, verse 2 says, "Then I put Hananiah my brother and Hananiah the commander of the fortress in charge of Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many." Daniel, it says, when the commissioners and satraps were trying to find grounds of accusation against Daniel, it says, "But they found no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was found in him." Psalm 101, verse 6 says, "My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me." So as we look at Hebrews chapter 3, we see three examples: two positive, one negative. We have the example of Jesus. He says, "Consider Jesus." Consider Jesus is to take a hard, long look, attentively look at Jesus. But what are they supposed to see? What part of Jesus, or what part of his ministry, are they supposed to see when they look at Jesus? It says, "He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house." So he says, this is what I want you to see. I want you to see Jesus and how faithful he was to the one who appointed him. And that is to be our example, is he was faithful to God, his Father, who had appointed him. We too are to be faithful to the one who has appointed us. And so when we look at the previous passage in chapter 2, there's a lot. I'm just going to quickly just highlight a few. In verse 10, Jesus was faithful in suffering so that he would be the perfect high priest. Verse 12, Jesus was faithful in proclaiming the Father's name to his brethren. Verse 13, Jesus was faithful to model a life of faith and trust in his heavenly Father. Verse 14 and 15, Jesus was faithful unto death, and by his death he rendered the devil powerless. Verses 16 and 18, Jesus is the merciful and faithful high priest who helps us and comes to our aid when we are tempted. He says, consider Jesus. And what are we to consider? We're to consider that he was faithful. He, day in and day out, when he felt like it, when he didn't feel like it, he obeyed. He was faithful in the midst of suffering and in the face of death. He was faithful. And it's important for us, I think, to have that as our supreme example. When we consider Jesus, what do you see? Do you see his faithfulness? The writer of Hebrews says, consider Jesus. He was faithful. Then he looks at the faithfulness of Moses. It's in Numbers 12, verse 7. This is the quote that's alluded to in this passage. God says, "Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household." He said, Moses is faithful. Now, the story around Numbers 12 is Miriam and Aaron, and they're upset with the wife. It was a Cushite woman that Moses had married, and so they start to slander him, and they start saying, well, God didn't just speak through Moses, he also spoken through us. And it was true. God had spoken through Aaron and Miriam. And so they begin to speak this way, and God all of a sudden comes to the defense of Moses, and he says, Moses is a servant in my house. He is faithful in my house as a servant. And so the life of Moses was one of faithfulness. And you could just look through the scriptures and see the story of Moses. He was faithful. He was faithful through 40 years of his own personal wilderness. And then he was faithful in 40 years of leading God's people through the wilderness. So 80 years of his life were in wilderness situations where they had to rely on God for food, the manna from heaven. They had to rely on God to provide in every area. It was a dry season. And even in the midst of a dry season, Moses proved faithful. When others were rebelling against God, when a whole generation rebelled against God, Moses was faithful. And so it's important for us to look at the examples of those who have been faithful. The life of Moses, faithfulness during the dry seasons, faithful in those times when it doesn't look like God's doing anything, faithful when we don't see what he's doing, faithful when we don't feel like being faithful. Moses was faithful. He was faithful to go to Pharaoh. He was faithful to embrace the reproach of Christ and to identify with the people of God. He was faithful through 40 years of wandering in his own personal wilderness and then 40 years of leading God's people. So two examples, positive examples that call us to faithfulness. And then there's the warning. Verses 7 to the end of the chapter, there's the unfaithful generation. This is the generation that said, is God among us or not? This is the generation that got onto the edge of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea and sent the spies and said, yes, it's a great land. There's wonderful cities, there's walled cities, but the people are giants and we're grasshoppers. And they were at that place. And I think that's a place that maybe many of us are at. They were too far away from the redemption story for that to really impact their lives, but they could not embrace the promises of God for the future. And when you're in that spot, that's a recipe for unfaithfulness. They couldn't remember the past blessings of God and the redemption in the Red Sea and how God brought them out of Egypt. That had been too far away. But now, as they had to engage their new enemies and move into that land of promise, the land of milk and honey, they could not embrace or chose not to embrace the promise of God and said, we can move forward. We can do this. And so God says he was angry with that generation. Let me just run through this passage and look at the words that describe their unfaithfulness. Verse 12 says, it was an evil and unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Verse 13 says, they were hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15, they hearing God's voice and then hardening their hearts, not responding in faith and not responding in obedience. Verse 16 and 17, provoking God to anger. Verse 18, disobedience. Verse 19, unbelief. Psalm 78, verse 8 says, and not like their father, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. So they did not prepare their heart when God's word was spoken, when they heard the voice of the Spirit, when they heard the word of God. It says they hardened their heart. They did not respond by faith. And last Sunday we talked about the importance of believing God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Here was a group of people, a whole generation of people that heard the voice of God and heard the command of God, but did not respond in faith and ultimately turned away from God in unfaithfulness. So I'd just like to wrap this up and ask, as we look at these three examples, ask ourselves, how can we maintain our faithfulness to God? How can we maintain that faithfulness in church work? How can we maintain that faithfulness in the witness for Christ in our community? How can we maintain that faithfulness in our families, in our marriages, in our commitments to our children, to teach the Word of God? How can we maintain that faithfulness? First of all, I think we need to take time to just consider Jesus. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus and consider his faithfulness and his ability to be that faithful high priest who can come to our aid, who can come and help us to be faithful. That's what he's all about, to come to our aid and help us to do the things that he's calling us to do. This is the writer's main point. Our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus. And chapter 12 definitely says this again. Number two, how can we maintain our faithfulness to God? We need to be faithful. We need to hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. In verse 6, he says, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So this is about guarding our own hearts. This is about what the confidence we had when we started out, that God loved us and cared for us and had forgiven us and that he was with us. That confidence needs to be carried through in every area of our lives. We need to hold fast that confidence and the boast of this hope that we have. Number three, faithfulness is about being obedient when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through the Word of God. He says, today, if you hear his voice, it's not about hearing his voice today and then maybe obeying. It's about responding in a way that says, yes, I'm embracing what you have said to me. I'm embracing what you are calling me to do. And I'm looking to be obedient to be faithful in those things that God calls us to do. So what is it that God calls you to do? What are the things you know he wants you to do? And those things that he wants you to do, God calls us to be faithful in those things. Faithfulness, I think, also requires an encouraging relationship with other believers. We need each other. We need others to encourage us. We need others to spur us on. We need others to maybe admonish us and say, it looks like to me things are slipping here. It looks to me like you're moving away from God. Maybe things are I'm not seeing you where I should be seeing you. I'm not seeing you in church. I'm not seeing you in Bible studies. I'm not seeing you in prayer meetings. We need to be encouraging one another, spurring one another on day after day, as long as it is today. Two more. The last, second last one is to be faithful. We need to recall to memory the faithfulness of saints who have gone before us. We need to be told the stories of Abraham who was faithful. We need to hear the story of Joseph who was faithful. We need to hear the story of Nehemiah who was faithful. We need to hear the stories of saints who have gone before us, who have been faithful, who have paid the price, and day in and day out have been faithful. And Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says, for whatever is written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We need to recall the memory of the faithfulness of God's people before us. Hebrews 11 is that story of recalling the faithfulness of God's people. And then finally, we need to hear the warnings of generations who were unfaithful and beware of the consequences of unfaithfulness to God. And so here's a story of an unfaithful generation that the purposes of God were stopped in their lives and they wandered 40 years in a wilderness till every one of them died in that wilderness. We need to take and hear the warnings of generations that were unfaithful to God and be spurred on to faithfulness. So I'd like to close with a story of a missionary. His name is Henry Morrison. Henry Morrison and his wife were missionaries in Africa. They had served the Lord in Africa for 40 years. After their ministry was over, they were on a ship coming back to the United States. And their question was, will anyone remember us? We left the United States 40 years earlier. Will anybody remember us? And so as they're on this ship, they didn't realize that Teddy Roosevelt, the president of the U.S. at the time, was also on board that ship. He had gone to Africa for a hunting trip. And the ship pulls into New York Harbor, and as they look over the side of the ship, they see crowds and crowds of people. And Henry Morrison and his wife are looking, and they see signs and banners and billboards, and says, "Welcome home." And they're so excited that these crowds of people are welcoming them home. Then all of a sudden, they realize that these people are here to welcome Teddy Roosevelt. Henry Morrison is discouraged. He goes to his hotel room that night with a heavy heart.
And he sits there on his bed and he asks his wife, "Honey, I just don't get it. For 40 years, we poured our lives into ministry and service, and yet we come back to America and not a single soul comes to welcome us home." And his wife came and sat down next to her husband. She put her hand on his shoulders and comforted him with words that he should never forget. "Henry, you have forgotten something. You're not home yet." And it's at that place, you're not home yet. Yes, being faithful is not always recognized. Being faithful in the everyday small things is overlooked by church leaders. It's overlooked by people around you. It's overlooked by people that should maybe recognize it. Faithfulness is not a very high value in our society. But that is what God is looking for. At the end of the age, He will be the one that will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Doing the small things, doing the everyday things, doing the right things continually is what I think God is calling us when we think of a new church year and the ministry starting up, the small groups, the Bible study groups, the prayer groups, the whatever other ministries are going on, the youth groups. God is calling us to be faithful and to do the right things faithfully, week by week, month by month, and He will be the one to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, this has been a full service. There's been a lot of different things going on. We had our Sunday school department up here. We've had parents that have dedicated their children up here. Lord, we've looked at the Word of God and what Your Word says to us about faithfulness. Lord, we have the wonderful example of Jesus, who was faithful to the one who appointed Him. And Lord, we have the example of Moses, who was faithful to You. Lord, but then we also have the example of an unfaithful generation, a generation that did not fulfill their purpose in God. And Lord, I ask that You would help us to be a believing people, and that faith in You would translate into everyday faithfulness. Faithfulness in our marriages, faithfulness in how we raise our children, faithfulness in our workplaces, faithfulness in our witness to Christ and our witness of Your name and Your character and nature in this community. Father, and faithfulness in the ministry that we bring to this church. Lord, I thank You for many people who day in and week in and out, Lord, that they are serving You. And I ask, God, that You would strengthen them to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.